Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks, Mark. This is Drew Doherty, and on Friday, Nick Scherfield of HoustonTexans.com spoke with Steve Corcoran of the Oakland Tribune. He covers the Oakland Raiders, and those two talked about the matchup coming up on Sunday.
This is Nick Scherfield with HoustonTexans.com. Here is Steve Corcoran of the Oakland Tribune. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us.
You are welcome, Nick.
All right, Steve, well, let's talk about the upcoming game this Sunday between the Texans and Raiders. And any talk about this game, of course, has got to start with Nnamdi Asamoah and Andre Johnson. Nnamdi's had a lot of success against him, you know, the past couple of times they've played. What do you think about the matchup this time?
Well, I think it's one as a fan, and it doesn't matter what the records are of these teams, is that you can just watch that matchup and you're going to get money's worth. These two matched up last year, it was out in Oakland. It was the second to last game of the year for both the teams, and I don't recall the numbers off the top of my head, but Andre Johnson was averaging about 9 or 10 catches a game and about 111 yards or so, I seem to recall. And he came in Oakland, and he did not have a single catch against Asamoah. And Asamoah got hurt early in fourth quarter and had to leave. And I think Johnson wound up with two catches for maybe 20 yards or so. So it's kind of one of those cases where, you know, this might be the best receiver in the game against undoubtedly the best cornerback in the game. So it's one of those things where if the game gets out of hand, hey, just keep your eyes on both these guys. And one thing that you might see that doesn't happen a lot out here with Asamoah is that they can keep him on the right side of the field only, so teams are able to get away from him by just sending a receiver in motion to get to the other side or just lining him up on the other side. But Johnson's so good that the Raiders are probably going to let Asamoah shadow him, so it'll be fun to watch.
How has Asamoah been doing this year? It's hard to tell by his stats because he doesn't get thrown out a whole lot, but has he been targeted very much this year?
Only two times. He was last year he played all except one game and had 17 passes his way. He gave up 8 completions for 133 yards and no touchdowns the whole season. This year he's had 2 passes go his way, and he gave up a touchdown, and it turned out to be the one that beat them in the Monday night game against the Chargers. He got turned around on a pass. Vincent Jackson, that was a horrible pass, but he got turned around, and it cost him. And then he gave up one last week and went for about 3 or 4 yards on a crossing route to Eddie Royal. So he said 2 passes go his way for about 20 yards and 1 touchdown in 3 games.
It should definitely be something fun to watch between those two. But let's talk a little bit about Jamarcus Russell. Right now, it's sitting last in the league in passer rating, completion percentage by a long shot. Do you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him?
Well, it's too early to tell. I mean, and you know, that sounds weird to say about a guy that's in his third year and he was the number one pick, but he missed most of the rookie year because he held out in camp. And so by the time he showed up between games 1 and 2, you know, he was already way behind, so they weren't able to play him much that first year. So they consider him a second-year guy. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what they're looking at him as. But the problem is that if you look around the rest of the league, there's a lot of guys that are younger than him and have less experience who are doing well. And you're talking about Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez. So there's no excuse for for his youth and inexperience, because these guys have shown that it can be done. Now, what happens beyond that is that then if the Raiders count, you know, they counter by saying that he doesn't have the curves that those guys have, you know, he doesn't have the running game, and he, you know, all of that. But, it's kind of one of those things where his time is now, is that this is the year where, as a quarterback in the NFL, it's historically shown that if that you are the quarterback that you're going to be by the third, at least by the end of the third year. So, you know, at this point, the signs aren't real encouraging, but he's had his moments. He was really sharp at the end of last year, including against Houston, and showed that he was making strides there, but he's kind of taken back this year. So they're pretty concerned about it. He hasn't been real accurate. He's, as Rich Gannon pointed out last week, accurately, might add, that that he does a lot of things wrong. He's got too much weight on the back foot. He tends to throw off balance, and he holds on his ball too long, locks on to the receivers a bit too long. So he's learning, but the Raiders know that he's got a ways to go, but they're committed to letting him be the guy the whole year at least. So, you know, he's got to fight through it, but it's been hard on him. Last week, I mean, the fans turned on him here in Oakland. And, you know, they were booing him, and, you know, they were chanting some things that weren't real flattering. And so, you know, he's got his hands full, but he's a work in progress, you might say.
I see. And about those Raiders wide receivers, you know, Lewis Murphy has been having a pretty good year. Darius Heyward-Bey and the rest of the receivers haven't really done much of anything. What do you think about that receiver group?
Yeah, just, you know, I think you hit upon it that Lewis Murphy has been the shining light of the group, is that he was drafted in the fourth round. And, you know, when if you had told them, you know, if you were to tell someone that, hey, look at the receivers the Raiders have, and they got one guy who was number 7 pick and one guy who was drafted in fourth round. Well, you would think Murphy was the guy that was taken number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's a guy that, and you say, well, then why did he last that long in the draft? Well, it's pretty simple. He played behind Percy Harvin, so he didn't get a lot of the attention. He didn't get a lot of balls to play, but he played in a pro-style offense, well, as spread offense, but, you know, he's accustomed to catching a lot of passes, and, big kid, really confident, and he's been shining light out of all of those guys. And, you know, that's hurt the Raiders from the standpoint that, you know, that's a guy that they didn't expect a lot out of this year, but he's the only one that is giving them something, so they need something more. Oh, Johnny Lee Higgins is without a catch this year, and he led all of the Raiders wide receivers last year in catches, so they're waiting for him to get going. And then this Chaz Schilling, he hasn't played this year. He broke a bone in his foot back in camp, and he was supposed to come back this week, but now it looks like he's not even got to make it back, so they just haven't even gotten anything. And Javon Walker, he was supposed to make it back this year, and he did, but you know, the Raiders just don't think he's that healthy.
Hmm.
He says he's 100%, but in the 3 games, he's been on the field for 4 plays.
Wow.
So they're starting 2 rookies. And, you know, that's hard. Is that, you know, that's a position where you've got to, it's a lot faster. The corners are better and all of that. And, you know, that's a hard position to learn on the fly. And I think it's evidenced by the lack of production from those guys across the board.
Yeah. Well, before we go, a couple more questions. The running game, definitely want to talk about, because that's been the Achilles heel of the Texans defense, giving up big plays in the running game. But the Raiders have kind of struggled to get much going on the ground on offense this year. What's your assessment of their running backs?
Yeah, that's a, you know, it's been one of the mysteries here this year, is that's what the Raiders were going to be. They were going to be a running team with Michael Bush, Darren McFadden, and even a little Justin Vargas, but they haven't been able to get that going much. The Bush and McFadden have had a handful of plays where they've looked pretty sharp, but you know, they hurt themselves a lot by getting second and long, third and long, or they get down by a lot of points, so then they have to turn to the pass more than they want to. But this is going to be the game where the Raiders try to get back to that offense they want to be, where it's a run-first offense, and they try to wear you down, and you know, then by the second half, then that's when they're going to hit you with the long runs. And but that's been one of those things where you say, if there was one thing that you thought the Raiders would be able to do well this year, it'd be run the ball. But it's been hit and miss so far. But against the Texans, having all the problems they've had against the run, you know, the Raiders are going to make a concerted effort to try to get that going this week.
How much of a concern are the fumbles with Darren McFadden?
You know, they aren't a huge concern. He had that problem in college. I went back and looked. He had 23 in college, but more than half those came when he was a quarterback or on kick return. So he, you know, so it's kind of misleading. But he's had 7 in the pros, including 3 last week. And you know, he was the first one to come out and say that he wasn't paying enough attention the way, you know, that he was holding the ball on the pressure points that they tried to get them to emphasize. And so he was, he's been quite upset this week. He said, and that he's aware of it, and that he's more conscious of it. Said it shouldn't be a problem, but yeah, he's had now that's 1 fumble for every 27 times he's touched the ball in his career here in the NFL, which breaks down about once a game, so that's not good. So it's something that they're watching, but he should be able to get it under control.
Okay. I want to ask you your prediction for the score of this game in a second, but before I do, We've been talking about the Raiders here. A lot of it, of course, has been negative because they've been struggling this year. But aside from Lewis Murphy, what are some bright spots for Oakland this year?
Well, of course, you got Awesome. You know, he's a guy that he's a guy that you go into a game, as we talked about, he's going to take away the number one receiver, at least as much as they allow him to shadow that guy. But most games, at least half of the games, he gets zero passes his way. So, you know, that makes it a lot easier for the rest of the guys on the team. Richard Seymour, the guy they traded for just before the season, he's been fantastic. And he's played all four positions on that line. So he gives them all kinds of flexibility, is that they're able to move guys around and create the matchups they want. So he's been huge for them. You know, he just makes the guys around them better. He's kind of one of those guys that can really change the complexion of the game. Greg Ellis is a guy they picked up, who Dallas thought was too old, and, you know, they didn't want him anymore, and he's been great here. You know, he's a team leader, and he's got three sacks. Michael Huff, a guy who they picked number 7 in 06, didn't really do much his career. He kind of played out of position, not big enough to play strong safety. Well, they moved three this year, and he's been their backup. He's played mostly in nickel, had three interceptions first two games, fumble recovery, broke up a pass last week that was going to be a touchdown. So he's been a revelation. And, you know, then, of course, you got the tight end,
Zach
Miller, who's a wonderful player. He would be a Pro Bowl caliber guy if he was in a in an offense that was had a guy that was completing a higher percentage of the passes. He's a guy that opens things up for the rest of the guys, even when he's not catching balls, because you got to use bracketed coverage on him. He's real good at getting open, great hands. So they've got a lot of guys that are playing well. The left tackle, Mario Henderson, he shut down Mario Williams last year pretty much one-on-one. He has not allowed a sack or a penalty in his NFL career, so that'll be a matchup to watch as well.
Sure.
So, you know, they got some guys that are playing well, just not as a team and not for whole games, and that's, you know, that's what they're trying to get to next.
Great. Well, last question before we let you go. How do you see this game playing out, and what do you think the score will be if you had to give a prediction?
I think the Raiders are going to be able to run the ball, and they're going to be able to control the clock for more than 35 minutes, and that's going to help keep the defense off the field, which the Raiders are almost as bad against the run as Houston has been this year. And I think the Raiders are going to win 24-20 just because of that one thing, that the Texans are not going to be able to stop the run.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve. We appreciate your time. Steve Corcoran with the Oakland Tribune.
Football time in Houston.